Years ago, I was sitting at a table with a number of adults, and a gentleman shared with us that he had lost his young adult daughter in a car accident just a couple years prior. And another man at the table turned to him and said, "Well, at least you don't have to pay for a wedding now." True story. And we were all aghast that somebody would share something like that to a grieving father. I mean, he had just had all his dreams for his baby girl shattered. And the last thing he was thinking about was money. I think the man thought he was being funny. But I don't know what the grieving father thought. But certainly, he had a hefty dose of anger and shock at such an insensitive comment. You know, I believe that most of us do want to be helpful. We do want to be supportive. We do care. And perhaps we just don't know the best way to express that in a situation where we hear some shocking news like that. And so that's the message that Stuart and Darren asked me to share with you today. I have been directing His Healing Light Ministries for 17 years now. And 15 of those years have been right here at Fellowship of the Rockies. So this is ground zero for my ministry. Back in the day, it was just a local class that I would teach. And now we are a national ministry with thousands of students across the nation each year. The flagship of our ministry is the Healing Journey class. And we offer that at Fellowship of the Rockies every September. If you're interested, I have some information after the service. God led me to write this after I'd gone through 9 years of healing from difficult things I had experienced in my life. I've had tons of painful events in my life. I've been through suicides and divorce and sexual abuse and even satanic ritual abuse. So I know what it means to be in pain, and I know what it means to grieve. And I've also learned from the students that I've had over the years, hearing their stories of grief and pain that they have shared with me. Through the years, I have been the recipient of some really great support and some that was, well, frankly, painful. So I want to help you avoid some of the pitfalls in this area. So let's begin by talking about some things that interfere with being supportive. So we'll talk about kind of the negative side first, and then I'll get to the positive side. But I want to begin with the issue of fear, because I think this is a big one. I think this blocks people, sometimes from even trying to reach out at all. Fear of saying the wrong things, fear of doing the wrong thing. So, and the other thing that people tend to be afraid of is fear of catching someone else's pain. And I just want to encourage you that pain is not contagious. So whether you're speaking or dealing with somebody who's going through devastating circumstances because they just got a diagnosis of cancer, or they lost their job or home and their material belongings, or going through a divorce, or they have lost a loved one, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to not be paralyzed by fear, but to step up and be supportive and kind to them. This is not the time to be self-protective. Their circumstances are their circumstances. This also might be indicative of having some unhealed painful events in your own life, and you're afraid if you get too close to someone with pain, it will touch your own. If this is true for you, I want to encourage you to get the healing that God would like to bring to your life rather than living a life paralyzed by fear. We never want to have fear calling the shots in our life. Now, if the issue is fear of saying the wrong thing, we can solve that one today. I'll be honest, there are things that you should not say. And I want to talk for just a minute about motives, because motives are what direct our words. So if you have any of these motives, then an adjustment is probably needed. I want to help them stop hurting. I want to change their situation. I want to help them get back to normal. I want to make them feel better. you know what, you don't have the power to do any of those things. So that's not on your list. You can't do that even if you want to do that. And you know what? It's not what they need, at least in the early stages. Our society believes in general that it's wrong to have grief feelings and to be hurting, have bad feelings. And so the best thing to do is just push it aside, just get over it, and move on as quickly as you can. But this is a terrible approach because it keeps people stuck in their pain forever. Honestly acknowledging what's happening to us and allowing Jesus into our situation is the thing that will heal us and help us move forward in our life. And neither of those are within your power and control. Those are decisions the hurting person must make. You can't make them for them. So going through our painful situation with Jesus on his terms is the thing that brings freedom. So cross this off your list. Make them feel better and change their situation. You don't have the power to do that. Better motives include things like this: wanting them to know you care, wanting them to know they're not alone, offering support that's truly helpful. These are things that will make a difference. When we have the wrong motives, we say the wrong things. So don't try to cheer them up. That's not our goal either. When people are grieving, they need to grieve. Grieving is healthy. Grieving is necessary. So don't try to cheer the person up, and don't point out benefits to the tragedy. That's not helpful either. We're not looking for the bright side when we're encouraging somebody. That's salt in the wound to the person who is hurting. They need people who will be with them in their pain. When you've lost a child, I'll tell you what, there's no bright side to anything. And the last thing that parent wants to hear is cheery words or benefits. It also tells the person when you do this that you have no idea what they're going through. And honestly, you don't need to know what they're going through. You do not have to experience the same tragedy, the same painful experience, in order to be a good support, to be a good, loving, helpful person to them. The absolute worst thing you can say in the case of losing a loved one is, they are in a better place right now. Don't ever say that to somebody. And right after that, for bad things to say is this: God needed them more than you did. Don't ever say those words. That's bad theology, for one thing. And it suggests that God is cold and heartless. He's selfish. And he doesn't think about anybody except himself. That's not the God I worship. One of the painful things Brian and I heard after Brianna died was a man, and he was trying to be helpful, but this is what he said. He said, "Well, I know exactly what you're going through because I lost my dog last year." And I know pets are special to their owners, and I know it hurts to lose a loved pet, but to suggest that a dog and a daughter are the same thing is insensitive. They are not the same thing. It's not the same loss. Here's another example. These are all true stories. Somebody at church said to parents who had lost their 16-year-old son to suicide just 3 weeks earlier, "So are you feeling better now?" And that's an indication of that person was uncomfortable with their pain, and they were trying to help them out of their pain. That's not helpful. So in general, use the word better. Leave that out. I'm sorry, I said use it. Lose it. Lose the word better in any question you're asking. It's fine to say, how are you feeling? But don't ever say, are you feeling better? Because that sets up an expectation that person needs to be in a place that perhaps they are not in. So what we need to realize is there's a period of grieving for every loss, and any painful event we go through has loss with it. Obviously, I did not grieve my distant uncle's death anywhere close to the grieving that took place when my grandson and stepdaughter died. But not every situation does involve losing a person. As I said, it could be a job loss or a house loss or a lost opportunity. Unhelpful comments here might include well, God must have something better for you. Or look at the bright side. At least you have each other. Not helpful. We're not trying to fix anything here. Those comments may make you feel better. I promise you, they will not make the hurting person feel any better. Proverbs 25:20, NIV says, like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. We're not here to sing songs when someone's going through pain. Here's some other pitfalls to watch out for. Avoid ignoring them. Don't act like it never happened, because that sends the message that you don't care what they're going through. And this is going to rankle some of you, but I have to say it because it's happened so many times to me, and this is going to surprise you, but because we're Christians. But don't preach and spiritualize to the hurting person either. And don't slap Bible verses on them, particularly not Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes. That is a great verse, and it's a true verse, and God is working good. So let that comfort you, but don't speak that to the hurting person, because, it insinuates you should be happy, right? Because God's going to do something good. They're not happy. And so that's the wrong direction to go. Preachy words don't help. And remember, your goal is not to change their feelings. Your goal is to be with them while they are hurting. Now, if the loss came because of a criminal action, let's say there was a divorce or a murder or a break into a house or being fired or things like that, don't tell them they just need to forgive. Forgiveness is a very long road for some people. That's not the first step. That is not the first step when you enter into a painful situation. Yes, it's true. Total healing will never take place without forgiveness. I will be the very first person in line to tell you that that's true. That is a cornerstone of my ministry. But it's not the first step. It's not what takes place in the early stages. So, again, we're there to show support, not fix it. In general, just keep that in your mind when you are with a hurting person. You are not there to fix anything. That's not our goal. That's not what we're trying to do. All right, so we talked a lot about what not to do. Let's look at what we can do. Let's look at some things that are helpful. So, in general, there are three things that are helpful to do when you are with somebody who's hurting. Number one, express caring. Number two, invite sharing. And number three, offer relieving. Number one, express caring. And this includes any comment that simply acknowledges what they're going through. Here's some examples of good things to say. I'm sorry you are going through a tough time right now. I mean, that is the simplest statement, isn't it? I'm sorry you are going through a tough time right now. But that hits the mark on the bullseye. That's a perfect thing to say because it acknowledges you see them and it lets them know you care. That's our goal. That's what we want to do. That is what is helpful. Here's another great thing to say. I'm praying for you and I will continue to pray for you. Now, don't say that if it's not true, but if you are willing to pray for them, that is a super encouragement that somebody is going to hold them up in prayer while they're going through this. And one more. I was heartbroken to hear, dot, dot, dot. One of the most helpful things to those suffering is to know they're not alone, to have people who see them, to know what's going on in their life is one of the greatest gifts we can give to a hurting person. It speaks volumes. It sends the message to them that their life matters. All right, number one, express caring, and number two, invite sharing. Obviously, the level that you have with the person will affect anything you do and say. If you barely know the person, you probably won't go any further than just to say to them, I'm sorry you're going through this painful event right now. If it's somebody you have more of a relationship with, well, you might ask some questions like, how are you today? How has it been for you lately? What can I pray for you this week? How are you coping with the changes? Now, if they follow up, if they respond to you with fine or okay, then you could follow up with another question like, so how was last week? They might be testing you to see if you really do want to know before they share their heart. Whatever you do, don't turn the conversation back on yourself. Don't make it about what you went through, except possibly a brief mention if you have been through something similar. For instance, I lost my job a few years ago too. It was really scary. Or I remember when I lost my father, it was such a painful time. But then zip it up at that point. Don't launch in to your life story and turn it back on yourself. I know as soon as somebody finds out that, and I'm talking to somebody who has the issue of suicide going on, and they find out I've lost my father, my grandson, and my stepdaughter to suicide, they're eager to talk to me because they know I truly do understand what they're dealing with. So these types of comments and questions can open up the conversation and invite them to share, and the hurting person needs to share. That's part of healing, to talk about it and to share the reality and express their grief and express their pain. Very helpful. Remember, you're trying to show them that someone cares. So for this reason, receive whatever they say with grace. Everybody is different. And don't offer advice to them. They'll never want to talk to you again. Don't tell them what they should or shouldn't be doing during this hard time. And don't lay expectations on them, saying things like, well, it's been long enough. It's, you know, time to get back in the saddle or whatever. Now, if they feel safe enough with you that they've divulged that they have gone back to some bad habits, just receive what they're saying without comment. They say something like, yeah, it's been so rough. I've gone back to, you know, eating too much or smoking again or drinking or whatever they might say. Just receive that. Don't tell them, well, those aren't good things to do. Those are going to hurt you. I promise you, they already know that. They don't need you to tell them. They need your love and acceptance. Any question that invites them to share what they're going through is helpful. But beware, everyone is different. And some will welcome the opportunity to share, but other people are very private, and they won't want to talk about it. Don't be offended by that if they refuse your opportunity to talk. You still accomplish something very good. You let them know that you care, and that's never wasted. Another mistake we make, and this is in the case when a loved one has died, is that they don't want to talk about that person. Most do. Most welcome the chance to talk about the loved one they've lost. They don't want to forget their loved one. It's not always true for everyone, but don't be afraid to ask them to talk about that if you have that level of relationship. All right, number one, express caring. Number two, invite sharing. And number three, offer relieving. Is there anything you can take off their plate that will make things just a little bit easier for them? Ask. Now, there's too many possibilities to mention here because circumstances vary and people vary. But here's a few examples. Let's say there's been a flood or a fire and they've lost their home. Obviously, you can offer to help with cleanup or with replacement goods and things they need to make it through this transition. Meals are generally a helpful thing in all types of painful situations, and babysitting, if kids are involved, can be very helpful. It's a little bit harder when there's a death, but you might be surprised. There might be some things you don't know about that grieving period. When Brianna died, it was weeks before I was up to going into a grocery store. It was just too difficult. So offering to pick up food, run errands. That could be helpful to somebody, particularly in those first weeks. When we're going through something painful, we don't have any energy. And the reason for that is grieving is hard work. Grieving takes our energy away. And so offering to do things that require energy are helpful, like mowing the yard and doing laundry and cleaning and so forth. Now, if the one you're reaching out to isn't suggesting anything in the moment, you might gently follow up with a question like, would you mind if I checked back with you next week? They might be testing you, and a lot of people just automatically refuse any offers of help. So you can be a little bit persistent about that. And if you have a very close relationship with the person who's suffering, it is completely fine to gently, kindly get in their face and say, you know what, my friend, I'm coming over to do some laundry and cleaning this week. What day is good for you? So you can push in a little bit more. And don't stop checking just because a few weeks passed. You know, when Brianna died, we were barraged with food and meals and offers for help for about 2 weeks. And then it all stopped. And it would have been nice to have some offers of help that second and third month, because our ordeal went on for a very long time. If you're serious about being part of their support, then you need to be a trustworthy person. And this means that you do not judge their circumstances. Life is messy. And yes, their circumstances might be their own doing, like they got fired from a job, or they lost their kids due to an addiction. Or it might not be their fault, but it might be attached to shameful circumstances like suicide or sex addiction or gambling or an affair. That makes it a little bit difficult. But whatever you do, don't judge their circumstances and don't talk about it to other people. What hurting people need is love and acceptance. And that's what we want the body of Christ to be. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, reaching out with practical help and words of kindness. It was Christ's unconditional acceptance that drew people to him. He loved them as they were first, and then later invited them in to the light of his truth. You know, the woman at the well was so shamed by her community that she had to draw water when no one else was there. But Jesus was willing to sit down and talk with her and have a conversation. Simon the Pharisee criticized this and condemned the prostitute who anointed Jesus' feet with perfume mixed with her tears and wiped with her hair. But do you know what Jesus did? He elevated this woman above Simon because of her honesty. Jesus gravitated to the hurting. Can we do the same? Many hurting people have experienced significant rejection. They've been beaten down, and the last thing they need is for the church to take a judgmental or a fearful stance and avoid them. Hurting people are vulnerable to believing lies, lies about God and lies about themselves. And we have an enemy who loves to piggyback on painful circumstances and just drill those lies into hurting people even more. He's such an opportunist. And say, see, you always knew God really didn't love you and care about you, that he's never going to be there for you. And you always suspected that you were worthless and had no value. And so we need to help fight against that. And the way we do that is by loving people. When we reach out, we come against those lies and communicate the opposite. Some form of guilt usually accompanies every hard event. So our support every week to simply say, I care about you, how are you doing, will go a long way and make a difference. Healing takes time. Don't ever suggest to a person that they should just get over it and go on. This is unhelpful and bad advice, and it's usually reflective of someone's ignorance about the healing process, as well as their own agenda, which is, your pain makes me uncomfortable, so please act like you're not in pain. healing is a process. It takes time and a lot of different steps to get all the way to the end, which is what my ministry is about. It's important that you be respectful whenever you're reaching out to a hurting person. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Everybody's different. What works with one person will be different with another. Don't be offended if they don't take you up on your offers for help. Some people really do just want to be left alone. Go ahead and suggest things that you're willing to do. And if you offer to help, be sure you're there to do what you said you're going to do. Don't drop the ball. And if you have children, please involve them in this process. This is wonderful training for children so that they will grow up and not be afraid of hurting people and know how to be helpful to them. If you are hurting or grieving, if you have unresolved painful events in your life, or if you know somebody who is hurting right now and they are grieving, I encourage you to invite them to join Brian and I for the next Healing Journey class. It starts up in September. Brian and I will be up here in front with flyers and packets, information to give you about that if you're interested. Or if you want a more concentrated opportunity for healing, we have an event called the Healing Weekend. It's next month. We'll be up at MTI, Mission Training International, in Monument, August 23 through 26. For a very small investment of time and money, you can receive an enormous amount of healing in just these 4 days. Brian and I will be teaching live, leading folks through the same healing steps we do in the class. These steps are highly effective for changing lives. The Healing Weekend is also a great place for married couples to make their marriage any better. In fact, any adult would benefit to help get past things that are keeping them from living the life that Christ has planned for them to live. If you want more information about this, as I said, we'll be up here. We also have our podcast series, and this came from my podcast, Helping Hurting People. You can find that on our website, hishealinglight.org. There's an index, and I have about 50 podcasts recorded now. So in closing, I just want to encourage you to always remember, when you encounter somebody in pain, to express caring, to invite sharing, and to offer relieving. Thank you very much.